Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All right, welcome back to it on a Monday. Anybody that's listened to this program for any period of time knows that I have been railing against the bias in media. I've been doing it since before it was cool. I've been doing it for the last 6 years now. Because as a former employee of NBC, I know what it looks like on the inside. I've worked there. And I can assure you that the handbook that I signed when I first went to work for NBC News in the late 1990s was about 3 inches thick of do's and don'ts, and mostly it was don'ts. And if I had pulled half the crap that these people pull at the New York Times or CNN or elsewhere, I would have gotten the boot, and deservedly so. My next guest, Dan Gaynor, MRC's VP of Business and Culture, joining me. Dan, welcome back to the conversation.
Thanks. There's so much going on right now. It really is amazing.
Well, it's incredible, and I can assure you, you know, the first time that it really came to my attention, you know, how far the media had gone is when they were using the term teabaggers. Teabaggers. I mean, come on, it's so over the top that I would have been, you know, told to meet the security people at my desk and they'd lead me to the door and they would mail me my stuff. I mean, that's what would have happened in the 1990s at NBC News. That's not what happens now. In fact, people are encouraged. I mean, you got Don Lemon out there who has the, you know, room temperature IQ. I can say that. Has a room temperature IQ out there, you know, pontificating about things he doesn't even understand. As long as he carries the company line, though, and carries the water, he is in good shape. And it's repugnant. There is no journalism to speak of. And then this Wall Street Journal, a reporter complains to the New York Times about Gerard Baker, the editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal, actually doing his job and saying, guys, get away from the editorializing and just do straight reporting.
Yeah, and look, all the news outlets are having this problem with Trump because I still have friends. I spent a long time in journalism. I still have friends and former coworkers in journalism. And I can tell you, I've heard the stories of people breaking down and crying election night in newsrooms around the country because their candidate had lost.
Really?
Yep.
Sobbing.
And
adults.
And I mean, that's the state of journalism today.
Well, here's the problem, Lou. And I mean, let's be honest. Being a journalist, being a writer for a newspaper, used to be a trade. I mean, it was a trade. It's a different thing now. Totally different because the people that they're covering are the same people they went to college with and were in fraternities and sororities with. It's just this cozy circle inside the Beltway of people that know each other and have and families have known each other. You know, it's not the old, you know, blue collar reporters that are out there, you know, hoofing on the shoe leather. It's a different world. It's not reporting. It's all opinion driven, and it's all driven by money and ratings.
Well, and it's also driven by, you're right, it's driven by the elite. And they for people outside the Beltway, they don't understand how this works. In Washington, if you go to a conservative party or a conservative event, you might see one or two columnists or maybe an occasional reporter, you know, dabbling about, you know, oh, wow, I've got to find out about conservatives. Somebody who's not there trying to skewer you. I mean, there'll be the opposition people who want to stick it to you. Maybe they catch a soundbite. Somebody says something bad. But then you flip it around and go to liberal events or liberal parties. They're stock full of reporters. Reporters who party with them, friends with them.
That's the point that I'm making.
Marry them.
That's exactly my point. They are an elite group. They all went to the same colleges. They went to the same fraternities for the most part. And if they didn't, they've been there long enough that they've immersed themselves in that culture. If they actually went to a state school, gasp. But they have more in common with the elite and politicians. They have no idea that I even exist. They've never heard of places like Peoria, Illinois, or Wausau, Wisconsin. They don't know these places because in their minds, they don't exist because between Los Angeles and New York, there's nothing but some flyover desert. People don't actually live there, do they?
Well, and the few that do come from those places, then they are embarrassed by them. Oh, I used to come from here, and I'm, you know, don't want to go back. Oh my gosh, and it's a sort of an infection for DC, and it's not just the journalists; it's the political people as well. The people who work for us in Washington, whether they're journalists or politicians or staff or whatever, generally don't like America. Generally don't like the people they serve. They, you know, I'm from Baltimore, so my family is very close. I live close to Baltimore. I don't live inside the Beltway. I only drive on the Beltway. I try to avoid getting inside it. And it offends me. It just does.
But it should offend you. It should offend you. It should offend you that people are out there that think that you're not smart enough to figure it out on your own and that you need to be hand-fed what you need to think. It's because they're not telling you what, you know, what's going on and make a decision. They're telling you what you should think and how you should think. And that's why we have an absence of critical thinking coming out of our high schools and colleges these days. Critical thinking is not taught anymore. Indoctrination is that here's what you need to think. And if you don't think this, there's something wrong with you. Everything is a consensus. Everything is unanimous. Everything, you know, and if you don't just go along, and if you dare to think on your own, what the hell's wrong with you?
Well, it's funny. I saw Jim VandeHei, who's one of the founders of Axios. He used to work one of the founders of Politico as well. And you would think his reaction to this Wall Street Journal story would have been, typical liberal reaction. Even he took the kind of, I think he tweeted out, it's like, you know, and with somebody had written a tweet about it. He retweeted it and said, "Editor does editing," and that was it. And yes, that's what this is. Editors are supposed to edit.
That's their job.
If you don't like it.
That's right. Exactly. Go on.
Like it. Go work for some left wing outlet.
You're right. Or do what I do. Hey, listen. If you don't want to be a straight reporter, do what I do. Get a column. Get a radio program. Do something else. Then you can do commentary. I do it every day. I'm not here as a journalist. I'm pretty good at it when I need to be. When there's breaking news, I think, but I'm not here as a I'm here as a commentator, and there's a big difference. I'll give you the last word, Dan.
Well, this is what liberals get wrong about conservatives. We don't want the media to be right-wing. We don't want them to be political for our side, just switch things. We just want them to be down the middle and
straight.
Do their darn jobs.
Shoot it straight, dude. I was a conservative when I was a reporter, and you know what? Outside of private conversation in the newsroom, those at home would have never had a clue. And that's a fact. I greatly appreciate it, Dan. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. You take care.
It's Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center here on the Steve Gruber Show. It's Monday. We'll be right back.